You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We have an exciting story today about youth ministry happening over across the border in Illinois today. And we'll share that story in just a moment. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend Roger Drinnen, Associate Pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois. Welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Good to be here, Sarah.
And Katrina Drinnen, Director of the Youth Ministry Board at St. Paul. Welcome, Katrina.
Good morning.
Now, you guys have been at St. Paul for about 4 years now. Tell us about what that was like arriving at St. Paul and what you were tasked with regarding youth ministry.
Well, when we got here, it was in the middle of Advent. And, you know, when taking a new call, I would recommend Advent and Christmas being the time to take it because you get introduced to everybody and all the families all at once. And there is just a lot of joy in the atmosphere. We got to learn and meet about all of our wonderful young families here at St. Paul's and got quickly integrated into our youth group here at St. Paul's. And Katrina, what else would you have to add from your perspective on that?
But our first introduction to the youth group was several youth ministry families helping us unload our trucks and trailers with all the things that the movers weren't bringing. And it was a great way to start building some of those relationships with people as they hauled our flooring for our new house in and helped us, you know, my crazy gardening obsessions, unload all of the big giant flower pots for the backyard. But as the boxes got unpacked, then we finally got to start meeting with the youth board, getting to know those parents that were leading the youth efforts and a number of faithful youth that were attending youth group and having fun together and growing in Christ.
Did youth look like at St. Paul's at that time when you first started? What did that consist of, a youth group or youth ministry? Pastor, we'll start with you.
Well, we have our youth nights. We have them about twice a month. And they're 2 hours. And really, really shout out to Sarah Cherry, who is the previous youth board director. And she really set up a framework in which we were able to slot in and help to grow what she was already doing. You know, we kind of walked into a situation where a youth group had kind of diminished. And we had a group of core youth that Sarah had worked to gather together. And so youth nights began as relatively quiet affairs. We had a good core, but over time, as word got out, it began to grow more and more. And we just have been very blessed with bringing Christ to our young people. And I've been very blessed by them as well. So,
Katrina, how did you get involved? How did you end up becoming part of the youth ministry board when you join St. Paul's?
When I was a student at Concordia Chicago, I was a member of the CYM teams there. And so youth ministry is part of just who I am and what I love to do. So it was one of those things that I volunteered to get involved with alongside Pastor and really wanted to find a place to serve and lead these students. Student leadership is another one of my passions to be able to instill and give back in the way so many others did for me.
That's fantastic. And just if people who did not go to Concordia Chicago, what is CYM?
Concordia Youth Ministry Teams. They are teams that meet and study God's Word together and then go out and lead events at congregations to help be peer leaders and examples for your youth group. They're a great resource and a great way to come to bring other resources into your church. We're excited to have them coming in just a few weeks to do a lock-in at St. Paul's.
Oh, that would be so fun. Pastor, why was it important to you and Katrina, we'll get to you in just a second, and the congregation to revitalize youth ministry? You said that the group was mighty but small. Why was it important to revitalize the youth ministry at this congregation?
Well, we have a school, and it further helps to develop the leadership of our youth here, of our students here at St. Paul's, to have another way in which they can gather together, and in a way that we give the way that we can give to them Christ outside of the classroom, right? So we are able to bring that kind of impactful message there. We have a theme every year, which we develop for our youth, for our lessons. We're actually this year going over Pastor Andrew Jones's book, 10 Lies Satan Loves to Tell. And we just got done with lie number 6, that, you know, Satan wants us to be alone. So we develop these themes and connect them together. And that's something that helps to bolster together our youth, what they learn here at St. Paul's in our school. Then we bring that there with the youth and help to develop that in ways that are outside the classroom with fun structure time together. I like to call it sanctified hangout time, right? Where we just kind of hang out and develop those relationships. We have big games here. Our youth really love those big games that we play, but also, you know, the serious moments where we are in Bible study together. We just bring kind of the whole package together in our youth nights. And it's just a wonderful thing for us to do here and to develop that next generation of leadership for the church.
Trina, from your perspective, what were the opportunities that you saw before you in terms of revitalization, opportunities to engage youth, more youth and more opportunities, engage youth with opportunities in the Word and engage youth with one another?
Yeah, we've all been in a congregation or seen other congregations struggling with a missing generation. You know, we've got those baby boomers who are have been leading the church faithfully for many years and are aging. And we have some young families, but there's often a missing gap in the middle between my generation and the generations older than me. Big way to be able to help stop those gaps from happening is to engage our youth and keep them active in the church throughout their life, right? And build that faith that lasts. So the opportunities lie there in making sure that your students find their place in your congregation, to engage, to serve and lead, and build relationships not only with their peers, but with their elders and the people younger than them, so that they see their home and their identity in Christ, but also in their congregation, and not just in your own congregation, but also in our larger church body, so that wherever they go, they remain engaged in our church and have good, solid friendships, Lutheran friendships, and Lutheran friendships lead to Lutheran marriages and Lutheran babies, right? And that's ultimately what helps keep our church alive and growing. So yeah, there's a little bit of vision beyond just what we do at youth group there, but really it's about engaging with these kids, meeting them where they are, and giving them an opportunity to learn and grow.
What has that journey looked like for you in the last 4 years? What is that? What was that revitalization? Where did you start? And what were some of those steps along the way, Katrina?
Well, as Pastor mentioned, each year we have a theme. That's something Sarah started when she took over the youth board about 6 years ago. And it's a really fun way to engage and gather around in games, in fellowship, in study all together. So when we joined the congregation, they were in the midst of a spy theme, and we were doing spy themed games, and we all had secret agent badges and lots of fun there. Since then, we've built faith together, where we talked about building a house and how our faith is like building a house. And we built marshmallow spaghetti towers and toothpicks, and we stacked red Solo cups for Reformation with the solas on them and had all sorts of fun. And this year, we are battling Satan's lies with God's word as we look at each of these lies in Pastor Jones's book and really relate them to our students and their own struggles, the battles that they face, because life isn't always sunshine and roses, right?
That's for sure.
Pastor, you mentioned that these students that you get to serve like big games. What is the place of games in youth ministry? What is the place of games? Because it's clear from our conversation and that you guys have a great article in Lutherans Engage the World as well. Lutherans Engage, we'll share a link with that,
yes,
in the show notes as well. Yeah, great story there. it's very clear that games have a key place in what you do in youth ministry there. What is that place? Why are games valuable to what you do?
Well, you know, first, the wonderful thing about games is that it builds character and it builds leadership, right? And these games also help us to, you know, burn off some of that energy. Well, they have a lot of energy and they need to be engaged for Bible study. There's a, you know, there's an intentionality why we have the big game first and they come in from big game and they're more settled in there as well. But it helps to form those relationships, as Katrina pointed out, again, that sanctified hangout time where they get to play with one another, to be with one another, to compete with one another, building character, building leadership. And again, also, you know, we have the theological component, which is, you know, very important, but the fun important component there is also important as well, so that they can enjoy one another's company and build those relationships, eternal relationships that we have in Jesus Christ, you know, founded in their baptism, founded in what Christ is working in them. And so the games are indeed very important, both practically and theologically.
We're talking with the Reverend Roger and Katrina Drinnen about youth ministry at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois. We have more to share after a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's six church work programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future church work students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/preparedtoserve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend Roger and Katrina Drinnen from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois, about youth ministry. And there is a wonderful article in Lutherans Engage, which we will share in the show notes, that shares more about this story. One of the things that you mentioned in this article is the LCMS Youth Ministry 7 Practices of Healthy Youth Ministry. We've talked about this before on The Coffee Hour. The End Gold podcast has covered this extensively. I'm curious why this has been such a great resource for both of you, Katrina.
Well, it started with Pastor introducing me to LCMS Youth Lead and encouraging our students to go to that. I had the opportunity to take three youth to the Youth Lead in St. Louis 2 years ago, and it was an opportunity for them to learn and grow as leaders, but it was also a tremendous opportunity for me to grow as a leader, watching them grow, watching how the peers interacted with one another, and revisiting some of those things like leadership skills that I hadn't probably talked about since my freshman year of college in different ways. And one of the opportunities the adults had at Youth Lead was to talk with Juliana briefly about her 7 Practices of Youth Ministry book, which I had heard about, but I hadn't really engaged with. And coming back to the congregation and talking with Sarah Cherry and my board, we decided to order copies of the book for the entire board. And each month, spend a little bit of our youth board meetings talking about each of the 7 practices. And we haven't quite made it through the whole book because, you know, life happens and we don't always get a chance to read as much as we want. But it really gave us a framework to talk about our youth ministry, talk about what we were doing well and what we could improve on. There were lots of things I think we kind of already knew, right? The statistics confirmed things we saw in the world, the different pieces and stories. You know, she talks about Walther League in the book, and everybody's got their memories of how great Walther League was, right? But youth ministry is not like Walther League. It was back then, right? That doesn't work in our context. But there are things that worked well in Walther League, that it built the relationships. One of the things I love about Walter League is that it wasn't about one congregation. It was about many congregations. And so as we looked at growing our youth group and looking at what we had, we realized we had something special as the largest congregation in our circuit that we could share with other congregations. And we started inviting other congregations that were smaller and maybe didn't have the volume of kids or the volunteer resources to be able to build something of their own to our youth group events and working together. And we were blessed to work with Pastor Ben Hader from Zion Shabbance to have him come in and help lead all of our big games. He is a young guy and had a lot of energy and could help us lead those games and build momentum. And he brought a slew of kids with him. And we've had a couple other congregations who have a few kids here or there who've been able to come and engage with our youth group as well.
Pastor, why was it important for you to consider Youth Lead and the resource Seven Practices of Healthy Youth Ministry? When you shared with Katrina about Youth Lead, what were you hoping would come out of that?
Conversation was prompted by the previous head of the youth board, Sarah Cherry, as she was looking for resources to develop leadership for youth. And after I did some research, found that we as a synod have a wonderful program for leadership for our youth, kind of a hidden secret, it seems, because, in seminary, I was never made aware of this program. And when we looked at it, it hit everything that we needed in order to develop leaders within our youth group. We were looking to develop at the time that core group had come into full bloom in terms of their maturity and their capacity to lead. And we wanted them to be able to have the tools to be able to be leaders, to be able to lead small groups. Because that year we had envisioned that the Bible study portion would be led by our young adult or youth leaders there. And we had two of those leaders and managed to now be in church work at Concordia Chicago. So the leadership tools there that we were able to gain there for our youth through Youth Lead were invaluable to the growth of our youth group, to be able to instill in our youth responsibility and that they have something to contribute and that they are needed and that they have the capacity to lead even as youth, that they have their own, that they have ownership in youth group. And so, and again, it's bore fruit in so many ways with our youth group, both last year and even this year, that we've had a leveling up of our youth group through that Youth Lead program and through the young adult leaders that we have been able to build up through that program.
Were there specific practices or certain things that really stood out to you from those seven practices that have really made a difference in your own context, in your own congregation, Pastor?
Well, one of the things that we were more intentional about, and again, as seven practices, as you read the book, you're going to find, hey, we're doing some of these things, but maybe there's some of these things that we're not doing as well as we should, or maybe some things that we don't realize, hey, these are linked together. We could form some connective tissue here together to help make things more holistically. And one thing is to help empower our supportive adults in this, to empower our youth board leaders as well, to give them leadership tools and ability to lead in youth board as well. So we're able to level them up as well in terms of their capacity to lead, but also to equip our parents to be able to bring that faith at home, to take whatever they have, what they learn at youth group, and also to bring it home there to them as well. Building up that great relationship with our parents and our families as well. And to look at youth ministry as not just something siloed off where you just, bring out pizza and you play games and that's that. But it's actually the part of a whole comprehensive part of ministry where we're building up that next generation, where we're building up families, where we're building up parents, where we're building up our supportive adults in leadership, in ways that they would be able to bring that faith beyond the walls of the church and into their homes and into their communities.
How does that in turn impact the word and sacrament ministry or their engagement with word and sacrament ministry in the congregation, Pastor?
Well, they in many ways, they are what youth ministry reinforces what's already happening in word and sacrament ministry. And my presence there as pastor in youth group there is bringing that, you know, word and sacrament ministry in youth group. When I lead Bible study there, bring the word to them, to bring absolution, to bring forgiveness there to our youth is very important, to remind them of their baptismal identity. You know, again, we may think of, you know, word and sacrament ministry, and we may just try to silo off things, and youth ministry is different than word and sacrament ministry. But again, it's a part of this holistic view of ministry where youth need word and sacrament ministry too. They need to be reminded that they're baptized children of God. They need to be reminded that they are forgiven. And we've seen that response with our youth. I see that on Sunday as their attendance is very solid. We have our youth that come who are college age now. They're coming back. They're engaged. They're keeping on receiving the word. They're serious about their faith. They're serious about what's being taught. They're serious about what it really means to be Lutheran, and having the pastor there to be able to teach them intentionally what they believe, teach, and confess as Lutherans is an invaluable part of youth ministry. And I would encourage all of my brother pastors to at least be in some way involved in youth ministry. If it's not just, you know, lead a prayer in the beginning, or to help develop Bible studies with the adult leaders there, and to be engaged with families. But either way, that youth ministry is a very, very essential part of Word of Sacrament ministry. It's an extension of it, and it helps to equip the next generation with their baptismal faith.
Katrina, how has the LCMS Youth Gathering supported what you've been able to do at St. Paul's?
It's an exciting opportunity for our youth to be able to go and be in the big giant event centers, right? And see the church at large, right? Beyond the doors of our local congregation. And it's really cool to watch. I got to be a Team Flex volunteer this summer, and to sit on the sidelines and watch these youth in the mass events, engaging with one another and celebrating what Christ has done for us as a church body is tremendous. And the excitement coming back from that keeps the students engaged. The excitement building up towards that helps us bring in more youth and keep them engaged. We have one youth who joined us on the youth gathering, and she's now in college. She's not even a confirmed member of our congregation, but we have seen her every time she's home this weekend, on the weekends, this past semester, which is just wonderful to see these youth living out their faith.
What is your encouragement to other congregations and their youth ministries from everything that you've learned and experienced in the past few years about what it means to have a thriving youth ministry in your congregation? What is your encouragement, Katrina?
Start somewhere. Right? Our first youth event was at our first call, a small congregation in Southern Illinois. We opened our home for a game night, and one student showed up. One student, right? It was discouraging, but at the same time, we had a wonderful time playing games with that one student, just the two of us, and building a relationship with her, right? We may not have ended up with a thriving youth group there, but it taught us about the needs of a smaller congregation. And when we came to this larger congregation, we were able to then engage with those smaller congregations and help build something that works for everybody, right? So start somewhere. Look outside the walls of your church and look for ways to collaborate and work with the gifts God has given you.
Sir, what about you? What is your encouragement to other congregations?
Well, my encouragement follows along the lines of Katrina, and from the position of being pastor, my goal was to develop good relationships with our sister congregations in our circuit, congregations that may not be able to reach a critical mass for youth ministry, right? You want to, if you're doing to do youth ministry and you're going to create these events and you're wanting to be able to have an engaging event, that there has to be some sort of critical mass that has to be accomplished for that to happen. Or else, again, as Katrina pointed out, it can be quite discouraging when you have a huge event planned and you only have one youth show up, right? And so being able to partner with sister congregations in your circuit, in surrounding you, will help to build up and further level up your youth ministry, to know that we are all in the same mission together as congregations in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that we share the same confession and that we all share the same goal, and that to work on breaking down those barriers between congregations, to work together, to be able to, and so that we can help raise up our youth, to give them opportunities to be able to have that sanctified hangout time, to be able to know that they're not alone, right? One of the wonderful things about, and I always get this every single time I've gone to youth gathering from our youth, is they're like, "Pastor, there's other people here who are Lutheran. How is this possible, right? How is this, how can this be, right?" And they see many, and they're just like, "Wow, there's so many people who are just like me," right? And so it gives that sense of belonging. It gives that sense of that they're not alone. Again, that was the lie that we had just tackled in our last youth night. We had the battle is this, "Oh man, I'm all alone in this faith. I'm the only youth in the, you know, in the congregation, or maybe one of only a few that are there." But when we look beyond the walls of our particular church, and we seek and to see and partner with other sister congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and to really partake and share in the ministry of raising up our youth, wonderful things will happen. God will bless it. God will work through those adult leaders, work through the pastors, work through those congregations, to bring that word, to bring the message of the forgiveness of sins to the next generation. And then that is something that we are charged, a sacred task that we're charged with in Scripture, is to bring the faith that we have and instill it into the next generation, and to do, you know, whatever it takes for that to happen. So that would be my encouragement for all who are listening to be engaged in youth ministry. And as Katrina pointed out there, to start somewhere.
Fantastic. We'll share the link to the Engage article where you share more of this story in the show notes. For this episode, the Reverend Roger Drinan, Associate Pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And Katrina Drinan, Director of the Youth Ministry Board at St. Paul Lutheran Church. Thanks for joining us.
God's blessings. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.